watch the Iran-Contra hearings?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
Portions of it.
I watched it for a few days.
I watched a lot of it. My husband was addicted to it.
I watched very little of it.
But I did follow it very closely, yes.
Do you think they're telling the truth?
No. No, not really.
Not the whole truth.
I think they're under oath, so I think they're telling the truth.
They couldn't remember. They all had lobotomies. Then nobody could remember anything. You talk about senility. Holy cow.
They were lying about most everything.
There is a lot more to the story, but whether or not we'll ever find out about it is another question.
What you saw in the Iran-Contra hearings was the exposure of the beginnings of a national security state which believes it has the right to override the Constitution of the United States in the name of security.
I think that there was a substantial shadow government trying to run foreign affairs for the United States.
In any other country, it would have been called a coup. And they seem to have gotten away with it.
I'd hate to think, as many of my colleagues here have already expressed themselves, that in the process, we have shredded our own democratic fabric.
These are modern-day pirates, these guys. They have escaped, essentially, the control of national governments, but they're available for use by national governments. Sometimes they move under color of and defend themselves as advancing U.S. national interests in this. But I think that's very secondary with these guys. They're out to make a buck.
I did do it. I am not, as I said in my statement, at all ashamed of any of the things that I did. I was given a mission, and I tried to carry it out.
The Iran-Contra hearings, convened in May 1987, by a special joint committee of the United States Congress to investigate the sale of U.S. weapons to Iran and the illegal diversion of money to the Contras. For 13 weeks, the hearings were broadcast on national television. Over 30 people testified, and the committee issued a 700-page report of its findings. But there are still many important questions that the Select Committee left unanswered and unexplored. Often, the official explanation seemed inadequate and contradictory.
Our government has a firm policy not to capitulate to terrorist demands, that no concessions policy remains in force, in spite of the wildly speculative and false stories about arms for hostages and alleged ransom payments. We did not, repeat, did not trade weapons or anything else for hostages, nor will we.
Despite Reagan's denials, investigations soon revealed that arms had been traded for hostages held in the Mideast.
A few months ago, I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and the evidence tell me it is not.
Only days later, it was further revealed that the arms to Iran had been severely marked up. Some of the profits had been illegally diverted to support the Contras, a guerrilla force organized by the CIA fighting the Nicaraguan government. The Reagan administration had a major scandal on its hands.
What has been going on that had been kept from me in various covert operations?
Mr. President, did they deceive you? They didn't answer whether Poindexter and Norris deceived you.
We had weapons being sold by the Pentagon under the Economy Act to the CIA, and the CIA selling them to a third party or an agent, in the case of General Secord, who would then complete the transactions.
I'm just trying to find out where the authorities were coming from to do these activities. I mean, clearly, there was no congressional oversight over this because it was kept totally hidden from the Congress. From whom would you have to get the green light in order to make the request or the direction, I take it, to C-Corp to move ahead?
Well, as I have testified, Senator, I talked to Director Casey, I talked to Mr. McFarland, I talked to Admiral Poindexter.
The use of U.S. government money for supporting the overthrow of the Nicaraguan government was specifically prohibited when Congress enacted the Boland Amendment in 1984. Even though it remained in effect until 1986, millions of dollars in profits from Iranian arms sales were secretly diverted to the Contras during this period through contacts with middlemen such as Moniker Gorbanifar.
Mr. Gorbanifar took me into the bathroom, and Mr. Gorbanifar suggested several incentives to make that February transaction work. And the attractive incentive for me was the one he made, that residuals could flow to support the Nicaraguan resistance.
Even Gorbanifar knew that you were supporting the Contras.
Yes, he did. Izvestia knew it. The name had been in the papers in Moscow. It had been all over Danny Ortega's newscast. Radio Havana was broadcasting it. It was in every newspaper in the land.
All our enemies knew it, and you wanted to conceal it from the United States Congress.
We wanted to be able to deny a covert operation.
Did these hearings uncover the full story behind the Contragate scandal? Or was it merely an attempt to keep the real truth hidden from public view? Peter Dale Scott, professor at the University of California at Berkeley, has conducted extensive research on covert action and CIA activities. The results are detailed in his book, The Iran-Contra Connection.
I think the real issue was that both the administration and the majority of the people in the committees were frightened that the real scandals, the drug scandals, for example, would really threaten any future conduct of covert operations on the scale that they had been handled in the past. And so they were trying very deliberately to limit the damage. This was damage control. Look only at the Iran arms sales and the alleged diversion to the Contras.
The American people may very well feel that the important questions didn't get asked. So they don't have the whole picture. They have a few little transactions and nauseating detail on those few transactions, but they were cheated out of the whole bowl of wax.
And so they were pulling their punches on all the major questions and issues of what really happened in this thing, what the CIA's role was. Anytime they got into anything that was really sensitive about exactly that, exactly what the CIA's role was and exactly what laws were broken and when, they went into secret session, which means that we the people won't be, we won't ever know.
Like you, I do not wish to see secrets of this land inadvertently and accidentally made public. Accordingly, the panel will enter into executive session.
In addition to facts that were hidden from the public through secrecy in executive sessions, other evidence was simply destroyed.
When you got back to examining what they had done, they systematically destroyed and shredded all of the documentation, as much as they could get. Hours of shredding. Altered some of the documents that remained. Stole what they couldn't shred. Now this gives you an indication that there may be a few things they did that they didn't want the public to know.
I shredded. I was never told not to shred. I shredded because I thought it was the right thing to do. When I didn't have a shredder, I put it in a burn bag and they were burned.
Weren't you going through your files to get rid of embarrassing documents?
Embarrassing? No. Documents that would compromise the national security of the United States, documents that would put lives at risk, documents that would demonstrate a covert action in the U.S. direction and control and relationship to it, yes.
Are you
embarrassing? No.